How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation, as well as the big MLB topics, along with the biggest names, greatest guests, and listener interaction, starring Score baseball insider Bruce Levine and half of Chicago's number one sports morning show, David Haw, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Good Saturday morning, Chicago. Welcome inside the clubhouse right here at 670 The Score. I'm David Haw, along with Bruce Levine, broadcasting live for the Hyundai Score Studios. Our last show before opening day for the Cubs and the White Sox, weather permitting. And Rick Hahn says, you know what, Bruce, the offseason, it won't end until that first pitch. We will see, and that's a good place to start after a very busy, significant news day for the White Sox. And, you know, the Cubs had some headlines as well, but, boy, the blockbuster was the White Sox trade. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, David, and I'm excited about the start of the season. So Cubs open up on Thursday, the White Sox on Friday in Detroit. Cubs at home in Wrigley Field against the Brewers. I'm back home after 3 weeks in the desert, looking at both teams every day. And we will give our ideas about what we feel the Cubs and White Sox are all about later in the show. We want to hear from you, your thoughts on the Cubs and the White Sox, your predictions, your concerns at 312-644-6767. That's our text and our phone line. And David, no place better to start than with the Chicago White Sox.
Absolutely true, because they are the team that enters this season like they did last season, but only with the maybe more emphasis on the World Series or bust mentality. This is a World Series contender. That's what I think. I think that's what you feel. What do you think out there? Are the White Sox built to win a World Series? And then on the north side, are the Cubs, are they going to be competitive enough to contend in the National League Central? Everything is about expectations. They're different on both sides of town. Let us know what you think in terms of how both of your teams, your favorite teams in Chicago, will help meet those expectations. And Bruce, this trade on Friday was about those expectations. The White Sox make the deal that people had been waiting for. Craig Kimbrel goes to the Dodgers, gets a chance to close, gets the ninth inning back, if you will, goes to a contender, and the White Sox get A.J. Pollock in return. And that was a piece, I think, it fits in right field the way people had been clamoring for. Adam Haseley wasn't going to be the trade that satisfied a lot of people. Rick Hahn goes out, makes a move, makes the White Sox better.
No doubt about it, David. And, you know, when you're getting Pollock, you're getting a guy that just played on a world championship team 2 years ago, a guy that's a veteran, a guy that can play successfully in left and center. He really hasn't played much right field, but Tony La Russa, who will be joining us at the top of the 10 o'clock hour live from Arizona, talked about yesterday the fact that he's a good athlete. He knows him well from his time in Arizona with him, and he has no worries about him filling in right field until Vaughn is back to be a part of the mix when he comes off of the IL sometime in the first week or two of the regular season.
Bruce, he's a right-handed hitter. He's somebody who has been injured throughout his career. He's a veteran. But in 2016, I think it was, he was an all-star and also a gold glover. This is somebody that fits out in right field if he is the guy they choose to play as the regular everyday right fielder. I think the White Sox now have the luxury of depth maybe that they didn't have before. But still, if you were to pencil in your opening day lineup Friday in Detroit, is A.J. Pollock in it?
Yes. Yes, he is. He would be my left fielder. I would have Eloy Jimenez as my DH on opening day.
Eloy doesn't like that, Bruce.
I know he doesn't like it. But you know what? I'm all about putting the best team out there every day. Okay. So when you talk about, I'm not saying Eloy should DH every day. I think it's a position that can be moved around. But I like the idea of Pollock on defense in left field. I like the idea certainly Roberts, one of the best players in baseball in center field. And for opening day, I would prefer either Sheets or Engel in right field. I would not be putting Pollock in a new position that he hasn't played very much to start out the season. I'd like to give him some time playing all three outfield positions and have him segue in there instead of just going that way. But again, that's me. That we'll find out from Tony La Russa at 10 o'clock if that's him going forward.
Looking forward to that conversation. Also, Nico Hoerner, bottom of the hour, Cubs shortstop, who likely will be the everyday shortstop beginning on Thursday. Bruce, before we move on, I wonder, it's impossible to predict. We're gonna predict the season later anyway, but when you look at right field for the White Sox, I don't hate your idea of starting him on opening day in left field. I don't know if Aloy is going to be happy being the DH full-time or most of the time. If you were to guess right now, today, who's going to play the most games in right field for the White Sox in 2022, who would it be?
I still say it's Vaughn. I really like Vaughn a lot. I think he's a guy that they feel is going to hit and hit for a lot of power and be a 300-type pitcher or hitter, rather. So from that perspective, I like Vaughn out there, but they have a nice mix of guys now. I think the depth that Pollock brings is really essential because of the fact that, you know, once in a while, even if you want to take Robert out of the lineup, you have an experienced center fielder, both in him and Engel, that can go in there. Engel, a very underrated player on the Chicago White Sox because of his defensive skills. So his need is to stay healthy. He had hamstring and leg issues last year that kept him out intermittently. But, David, I really like the depth here of this team. I really like it. If there's anything that I'm a little shaky about, it's the fourth and fifth starter for the Chicago White Sox.
I agree with that.
That is one area.
How active, Rick Hahn will be. The Sean Manaea rumors remain rampant. Maybe that's overstating it. Maybe that's wishful thinking. But, Bruce, when you look at their pitching, they need to bolster, I think, the starting rotation. And also, you know, the other big news yesterday was they took a blow to the bullpen. Garrett Crochet, the young lefty, is going to undergo Tommy John surgery, and he will be out the entire season. Rick Hahn said optimistically he would be back next year in 2023. How big of a loss will that be? I look at that, Bruce, and I wonder if that could be almost losing Crochet as significant as adding Pollock, only because you have a guy in Crochet, a lefty, hard throwing, you know, young pitcher in the bullpen who is not able, who's going to replace him. Pollock makes you deeper and better, but boy, the loss of Crochet, I hope that doesn't hurt the Sox any more than we fear.
Yeah, and I'm with you. That's a big arm from the left side, and you know, that leaves an awful lot of territory for Aaron Bummer to cover at the back end of that bullpen. There's some innings that, you know, look, here was the plan all along. With Michael Kopech hopefully going forward into the starting rotation, okay, you are going to give Crochet the role that Kopech had, and that was about 70 innings last year of mostly two innings, some one, and then sprinkled in like three or four starts. Okay, so it's really an intelligent way, puristically, of look at player development for a young pitcher. Okay, David, and in player development, you look at Crochet just like you looked at Kopech last year. We're going to keep him in the bullpen. He's going to throw 70 innings. We're going to spot start him and prepare him for 2023. As a starting pitcher in our bullpen. Nice plan, then all of a sudden injuries get in the way. So those are important innings that Crochet is not going to be throwing for the White Sox. And I'm concerned about it. But, you know, again, there is some depth in the rotation, although the Kopech innings right now, I'm a little concerned with that. He's a little behind right now. He's not hurt, but they've been watching his innings, and it's going to see how it's all we'll see how it all shakes down. The White Sox have a lot of good problems, David, because they have a very loaded roster that should compete for a World Series.
They should. I think, Bruce, the Sox fans look at it as they felt similarly last year. And then you get through the season and you're on cruise control and you get to the playoffs and it wasn't good enough. And I think they want to playoff-proof this team earlier, you know, sooner rather than later. And I just wonder, because you look at the rotation and we are taking such a critical eye. I mean, look, I'm with Rick Hahn. If you go to opening day with these 28, you feel very good about your team. But if you're being critical and you're trying to have higher standards, World Series or bust, I do wonder about that starting rotation and relying on Michael Kopech to the degree that they're going to have to at the current, given the current mix. Bring us up to date what you expect, what you have heard about the Sean Manaea talks. Other teams obviously involved for the A's lefty. Are they going to keep him going into the season, or do you expect to trade before opening day?
I just don't know if they have the right matchup for Oakland, who's looking for young stud players, guys that are top 50, 45 players, young players in baseball, you know, by MLB Pipeline and our good friend Jim Callis. Those are the type of players they're going to be looking for. I don't know if the White Sox have those at the bottom right now. The matchup, you know, I think they can match up with some of the guys that are around right now, that, you know, the guys like, you know, Lampert and, you know, people like that that can be thrown into a mix. But I'm not quite sure where they stand on getting Manaea, who is going to get an awful lot of play from a lot of teams, including what we're hearing is the Boston Red Sox, who are trying to make this a priority as well.
We have a couple other notes to get to before we get back to the phone lines and hear from Ron in the South Side and Jack in Hillside. But Bruce, the Sox and Lucas Giolito avoided arbitration. This was welcome news, maybe minor, but it may be significant in a different way, agreeing to a one-year $7.45 million deal on Friday. Those negotiations included a one-on-one with Giolito and Jerry Reinsdorf. What was your reaction to them avoiding a problem because of the way it sort of had taken on a contentious tone given Giolito's comments earlier in the week?
I thought it was refreshing to hear and shows you the passion of Jerry Reinsdorf, that he wanted to go over and talk to Giolito and show him, look, you're an important player here. We've offered you a long-term contract. We've shown you some love. We want to make you a part of this franchise for a long time. But, you know, give us a break here. You know, don't call us out for $50,000. You know, that's not where it's at. I mean, we're hoping to be together for a long time. And to Giolito's credit, he's the one that said he instigated the initial contact with the White Sox and Jerry. And I think it's great that they're all on the same page, because I can't think of a more important pitcher for the Chicago White Sox than Lucas Giolito.
Tone setter? Absolutely.
He's the
true
face of the pitching staff. I mean, yeah. Dylan Cease may pass him as far as ability goes, but from what he brings right now, he's the ace of the staff. I know Tony hasn't named his starter yet, whether it's Giolito or Lynn. Doesn't really matter much to me. I think Giolito will probably get it, but Lynn probably earned it more last year. Regardless, after the first two games, you know, it's Cease, it's Keuchel, it's, you know, Kopech. Then you have Vince Velasquez and you have Lopez, who are viable six and sevens waiting around. And, you know, you're going to see those two guys either start or be piggybacked in some games beginning the first month of the season.
Yeah, Cease may have better stuff, and certainly Lance Lynn, you respect his style and approach, but the substance of everything the White Sox want to be and represent, you see every outing from Lucas Giolito. He is the ace, and I'm glad they got that cleared up, because it was a bad look, and now it's removed from anybody's mind before the season starts on Friday, and that's a good thing. Last item for the White Sox, Bruce, what did you think of Adam Haseley? He'll start the season in Charlotte at AAA, but the Phillies' former eighth overall draft pick, he had started opening day for the Phillies a year ago, comes to the Sox as a depth piece. He is a good glove guy, also a left-handed bat.
Yeah, and you make a great point, David. The left-handed bat is something that they really want. I mean, look, if there's any weakness on the White Sox, it's do they have enough left-handed hitting? Do they have enough left-handed pop? How often will Sheets get into a game, okay? You know, Can you rest Grandal enough at DH to get the optimum amount of offense from him because of that big bat? Yeah, he's a switch hitter, but from the left side, he's a very potent hitter. Do we see a lot less of Grandal as a starting catcher and a lot more of him as an important offensive piece from the DH spot? So those are the things you look at, but it does give them depth, and I like him. The White Sox had good reports on him before they traded for him, so it brings some extra depth there to their outfield as well.
Don't want to neglect the big Cub news on Friday. Wasn't good news. Wade Miley, the lefty that they got from the Reds in the offseason, shut down for 10 days with left elbow soreness after an MRI shows some inflammation. We'll talk about the Cubs, Nico Hoerner, bottom of the hour. But we've got to get to the phone calls, and there's a lot of Sox thoughts out there, and the Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com, and that's where we find Jack, who is in Hillside. Jack, welcome inside the clubhouse.
Good morning, gentlemen. I want to let you know I do agree with Bruce about A.J. Pollock coming in here to the White Sox. He's going to become I agree with the fact that Andrew Vaughn is going to get the bulk of the right field playing time, which makes Pollock essentially an upgrade over Adam Engel as your fourth outfielder. And this gets back to do they keep all that outfield depth? I still think their biggest fear is if Grandal goes down or he can't play enough. Therefore, and I told you this last week, they should go get Wilson Contreras. He'll take the load off Grandal, who'll become more of a DH, and your number two catcher. The Cubs can get two Gavin Sheets, and now they can get an everyday center fielder and Adam Engel. Why aren't you more concerned that the Sox are really vulnerable with Grandal at DH? And I love him as a DH / catcher, not the other way around.
Well, you know, it's a great call, Jack. And David, he's right. As teams start to pare down here and send people back to the minor leagues over the next 3 or 4 or 5 days, I think the White Sox will be picking up some catching depth. I think they need it. I don't think Zavala is your answer as a starting catcher every day. If something does happen to Grandal, you have Collins, who was sent back to AAA already. Has been sent back to Charlotte. So from all of that, he'll catch there every day, and he has a presence having caught a lot for the White Sox last year. But I really think that type of depth is needed for the Chicago White Sox.
Offseason's not over until opening day. Rick Hahn told us that yesterday, so maybe a move is in the offing. And, Bruce, I just know this. The last time the White Sox added a veteran named AJ in the offseason, good things happened and followed, so don't forget that. Let's go to Ron in the South Side. Good morning, Ron.
Hey, good morning, guys. Look here, 2 points. Bruce, I agree with you 100% about Eloy Jimenez. The Sox are a better team if he is DH. The thought of him in left and Bond in right last year, they're troubling. And see, when you think of outfield defense, it's not just getting to the ball. A lot of times, the outfielders due to the wrong base, missed the cutoff man. And so my other point is about pitching. In relative pitching, you have to have a good defense out there. It helps your pitching. So I was having a conversation with someone yesterday, Bruce, what you just mentioned. I don't think that the White Sox have the prospects that Oakland, unless you're looking at Cespedes or somebody that they probably don't want to give up, because the names that I was hearing before was Vaughn and Crochet. Those are players that I'm sure the Sox are not willing to give up. But they're going to have to probably make a tough decision because they do need another pitcher. Lastly, guys, with Dylan Cease, Dylan Cease made some improvement last year. But if you look at his record against teams that were over 500, he really struggled. He did well against some pretty bad teams. So that's it. So the White Sox need another strong pitcher, like a number three. So they have a dilemma because I don't see them having the prospects, and Oakland is going to want a top prospect. Thanks, guys.
Great call, Ron. Bruce, does getting Pollock make the Sox more likely to deal one of their right field candidates for a pitcher that they need in the rotation.
Yeah, but you know, Engel's not a match for Oakland. Okay, they're not looking for a guy that they're looking for someone that contract control will be 6 or 7 years. So they're looking for younger players that don't have experience like that. Not to diminish what Engel does. I think he's a very good outfielder, and he improved dramatically over the last couple of years offensively. But he's still an important defensive player on this team. You're going to see Tony La Russa turning to him and to Pollock later in games, you know, to fortify a 2-1 or a tie game. You know, you don't want to take Jimenez's bat out of the lineup because he can hit that home run or drive in that run late. But you also want to protect those wins, and Tony La Russa is a master at it.
He's Bruce Levine. I'm David Hall. We are talking baseball right here until 11 o'clock. Are the White Sox built to win a World Series this year? Can the Cubs be competitive enough to contend in the National League Central? We will continue to talk about that. Let us know what you think. 312-644-6767. Well, when we come back, the Cubs everyday shortstop Nico Hoerner joins us next. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Here comes the 1-1 to Hoerner. A swing and a drive to left, deep. It's got a chance. Gone. Three-run homer, Nico Hoerner. Cubs lead 13-1.
And that's how you fix the beanball. You hit one out of the yard and watch the pitcher's ERA go soaring.
Back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bruce Levine and David Haw here until 11 o'clock. Thanks to The Score, Pat and Ron. That sounds nice. Calling a Nico Hoerner home run from last season. Looking forward to talking to the Cubs shortstop here shortly. Bruce, the Cubs are still engaged. Is that the right or wrong word to are they still involved in any trade conversations for Wilson Contreras? I saw a report overnight from The Athletic about the Padres shopping Eric Hosmer to the Mets. Maybe to address the Mets' pitching need with Jacob DeGrom's bad news. What do you think the latest is with Wilson Contreras and the Padres?
Well, I don't know if they have a matchup right now for Wilson Contreras. I think that they are they're pretty hell bent on getting rid of some payroll over there with San Diego right now, and they would like to, for lack of a better term, dump Hosmer and a significant amount of money, $60 million owed over the next 3 years, and add some flexibility to bring on some other people there. When you look at Contreras, he's an important part of the development of the Cubs pitching staff. So if you look at this year as a team that's going to very much try and be very competitive in the Central and also building toward the future, a veteran catcher like him and Gomes are very important as far as that development goes. I'm up in the air as to whether Contreras is going to be traded now or sometime in August, or sometime in July before the trading deadline.
Bruce, I mentioned the Wade Miley news yesterday, him being shut down for 10 days at least. How big of a blow is that to the rotation? We made a lot of when the Cubs got him from the Reds and penciled into that number three spot behind Marcus Stroman and Kyle Hendricks.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big deal. I don't expect to see Miley for a number of weeks here. He hadn't built up to any real pitch count because he was dealing with coming back from something in his shoulder area, okay, from last year. He had told me that he had something in the clavicle area attached to his neck that gave him some problems at the end of last year. So they were kind of slow rolling him getting started this year. That said, he went out and he had his first, sizable start. You know, not a lot of pitches, but went out and threw a strong session against hitters, and then came up with this elbow situation. So, I would say, counting on him these first 2 to 3 weeks of the season, not very likely.
We saw Suzuki homer this week in his first hit as a Cub. He had struck out five of his first eight at-bats. We have seen some things round into form with some of their position battles, Bruce, but I think that everything will be about that pitching rotation early on and the defense behind those pitchers, which involves our next guest. The everyday shortstop for the Chicago Cubs is Nico Hoerner, and he joins us on the guest hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Good morning, Nico. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, how's it going, guys? Thanks for having me.
It's going well. Well, back here in Chicago, though, as you know from spending the winter here, the weather is not agreeing with us, so hopefully by opening day that will change. How has your spring gone overall, and where do you think you are in terms of being ready for the season to begin Thursday?
Yeah, I mean, obviously very happy just that we have a full season. You know, just a couple weeks ago, that was very much in doubt. But really happy with where I'm at, especially with my body, just especially coming off last year, missing games, knowing I've made a big improvement. And the staff here really did an amazing job coming off of 3 months of no communication and being able to kind of hit the ground running with us and have our programs ready and everything. And that made life a lot easier.
You know, Nico, seeing you in spring training, both in the clubhouse and on the field, there's this quiet confidence that you have. I think you've had it from the very beginning in 2019 when you came up and played awesome shortstop when Baez got hurt at the end of that year. But now, after coming back from injuries last year, there's just a sense that I get that, you know, you feel, you know, you're ready, and that the only challenge is, you know, going out there and winning with your team.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you look at the last couple of years and hardly anyone's had just like a fully normal year, you know, but those are not years wasted at all. And there's a lot to learn in those times. And, you know, I've been lucky with the teammates I've had around me through that time and learning from people that have done it before me. So, yeah, I feel very much ready for the season. It's been a short spring, but, you know, just any concerns I have for the league as a whole is more on a health-wise. I think guys are going to be ready to play. And obviously you just want to see everyone healthy through a full season.
Nico, I've read about this, but I want to ask you directly. Where did your relationship with Nick Madrigal begin? How far back does it go? And even though you were kids maybe when you met and played around together on the same fields, does that translate now to help improve your rapport with the guy who is your double play partner?
Yeah, Nick and I played. So he's from Sacramento. I'm from Oakland, about an hour and a half apart. And I think we first met when we were 11. We went to North Carolina for like a showcase type thing and then ended up playing for USA Baseball when we were 14 and 15 together. And then from then on, we were mainly across the field from each other. But our careers have been like strangely parallel from playing in the Pac-12 to being at the same levels in the minor leagues to debuting basically at the same time and in the same city, and then obviously being on the same team now. So just someone I've always had a ton of respect for, but like I said, mainly someone who I was playing against a lot of the time. So been really great to get to know him better as a person, and definitely adds a comfort level playing with someone that you've seen play a lot and just looking to build on that relationship more.
You're listening to Inside the Clubhouse and the voice of Nico Hoerner. We're here for you every week talking baseball, 52 weeks out of the year. And Nico, I go back to when Jason McLeod drafted you, and he told me, he said, here, we have a young man that can hit, flat out hit, and he can play second or short. And I project, and this is him at the time when you were drafted, that Nico is eventually going to hit for power. Not necessarily 40 or 50 home runs, but 15 to 30 home runs. We think, you know, just by the strength that we project for him, he's going to be a home run hitter. Where are you at offensively? Where do you look at a comment like that? And how do you project yourself as far as your game offensively?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to throw a home run number out there or anything, but trusting that over time with more at bats and seeing pitchers multiple times and being healthy for an extended stretch, like that's something that comes with not necessarily changes in your swing, but just learning the game, learning when to take chances, and you know, there's no really way of predicting that, but knowing that it's something that's a part of my daily work. It's something that's, you know, I know is a part of my value in the future, and could happen next week, could happen in 2 months, but it's the kind of thing that I know will show up eventually, and just sticking to it.
I got a kick out of learning that you had stayed in Chicago in the off season, Nico.
Yeah.
During the lockout, we're working out on the north side, and when people say that you can do some damage in the batting order, I don't know that you meant to take it literally, but one day you hit a ball and it broke a sprinkler at the Bradley Fieldhouse, and all hell broke loose, it sounds like.
Yeah, we had a good group of guys working out there this offseason. But yeah, I hit a ball just through the net, and it burst a pipe. And it sounded like a sprinkler at first, but then it flooded the whole place, and we had to clear out. It smelled terrible. Other than that, it was a very smooth offseason, but that was definitely a scene.
Nico, when you look at your team this year, there seems to be tremendous opportunity for a lot of people to step definitely. Up their game, and there seems to be a lot of talent. But, you know, obviously fans and media are skeptics. They're not sure where it's at. How do you look at, you know, the mix that you have in spring training and the ability for fans and people like ourselves to project what the Cubs are in 2022?
Right, yeah. I mean, I think people, you know, you always want to project. You always want to try and understand ahead of time. But I think there's definitely an excitement in the unknown as well, because there's a lot of people on this team where you don't know what it's going to look like over 500 bats. And there's a lot of positive in that unknown as well. And I think there's a very healthy sense of urgency among the group, whether it's guys who are, you know, older and trying to continue what they've done before, or guys that have had a solid year or two and trying to establish themselves. There's a really healthy mix of that around, and I think that's something that just makes showing up to the field every day that much more exciting, and something you can feed off on the people around you, and not to mention just good people in general. I think you can never take that for granted. I think the Cubs have always done a good job of having quality people around.
Nico, I think when people refer to you as a super utility guy, it's meant as a compliment, but I could see how you might not take it that way. Your versatility is a blessing, maybe sometimes viewed as a curse, because you can move around in so many different positions. I just wondered, as this offseason evolved and you know you're paying attention, the Cubs are linked to free agent shortstops here and there, how do you view yourself, and what is your best role on this Cubs team moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, it's cliche, but it really does come down to winning. So, you know, when you're never going to see me upset with the Cubs signing a player that's going to give us a better chance to win, no matter where that is. And I think we're at a time in baseball where, you know, there's definitely comfort that comes with playing the same place every day and knowing we're going to be in the lineup, but that's just not realistic for that many players. You know, you got superstars playing all over the place. And so I think any kind of stigma attached to utility player isn't so much of a thing anymore. And, you know, it's not a hard sell for me to be told I'm playing different positions for the Cubs in the major leagues. You know, it's a pretty awesome place to be.
All right, so let's forget about baseball for a minute. What does Nico Hoerner do for fun when you're at home or you're going out? What exactly is the way you kill time, even though I know you've been busy preparing, lifting, hitting, but, you know, all work and no play, not a good way to go.
When you're not cleaning up, mopping up gymnasiums that you flooded.
right. I mean, I grew up in California, so definitely spent a lot of time outside in nature, whether it's in the mountains or beach or whatever that may be. And, you know, my off season, when I get the time, I'm definitely getting out to beautiful places like that. But in Chicago, I just really love exploring that city, and especially in off season when there's, you know, I don't have a schedule as much, and just getting to know it on foot, walking around, obviously eating a lot of great food. You know, it's endless in the city, as you guys know. That's really been an awesome experience to get to know a new city as a young person, and super grateful that I'm in a city like Chicago where that's really exciting.
Can you go unrecognized still and still you and your girlfriend enjoy the city without the autograph thing and the, hey, how are the Cubs going to be?
Yeah. I'm not an issue at all.
Well, enjoy the anonymity now, Nico. It may not last long if you have the kind of year a lot of people expect you to have and the kind of future people certainly know you're capable of having. Best of luck this season. We really appreciate you jumping on the phone this morning, and we'll see you when you get back to Chicago.
Yeah, I really appreciate it, guys. Have a good one.
Take care. Nico Hoerner. Thanks, Nico.
Cubs everyday shortstop, Bruce. Bright young man, really committed, has worked on his body, so he's as physically fit as you would want to be heading into a season. Big expectations for Nico Hoerner. Do you think he is the Cubs' everyday shortstop to the extent where he plays more than 120 games there?
If you tell me he's going to be physically okay, I would say he is. I would say, you know, I did a story on him for 670thescore.com last week, and in it he said flat out, "I'm here to win the shortstop job. I'm the shortstop." Right. And he's not a free, you know, we know Andrelton Simmons has been brought in as a backup. He's going to start the year on the DL, IL rather. He's got a shoulder issue. It's clear that it's Horner's to win, okay? They have a lot of good young shortstops in the system that'll be coming over the next couple of years. But Horner is free to go and win this job. If he ends up years from now, 2 or 3 years from now, being the next Ben Zobrist, moving from position to position, that'll be fine. But I think it's him and Madrigal up the middle. That's their hope for 140 to 150 games this year.
There are worse things to be than compared to a former World Series MVP. Yeah, I hope you're right, and I'm looking forward to see him develop as that everyday shortstop. How many games will the White Sox win? We will tell you next. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
I've been worn out the last couple of days with something I said about, and I keep seeing headlines where I'm rude to the White Sox fans. I mean, that's so much. What I said was, we're going to win with what we got here. And when I say, if somebody is saying that we need help, they're not White Sox fans because they don't know. They're out there trying to make us spend money we shouldn't make or make it disrupt what we got here. Now, my question to you is, from day one to now, have I ever been disrespectful to White Sox fans? Haven't I bragged about who they are? I mean, the support we got, I've never. So, I mean, for somebody to take what I said to mean like I'm demeaning a White Sox fan, that's got to be corrected.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Welcome back Inside the Clubhouse. Bruce Levine, David Haw until 11 o'clock. That was Tony La Russa, Bruce, talking the other day, clarifying his comments on Sox fans who have high expectations, and they should. Sox fans should have high expectations. We'll ask Tony about that directly when we have him at the top of the hour in a few minutes. Predictions for 2022, Bruce. How many games will the White Sox win in their quest to meet those high expectations? What say you?
Can I? The caveat is injuries always. Aside, of course.
Always. Yeah.
95 wins for the Chicago White Sox. I think that wins the division. I think it gets them close to being the top team in the American League. I think the Toronto Blue Jays, the Seattle Mariners are going to have something to say about who is the best team in the American League this year. I just truly believe that the White Sox are going to be right there. If they make that move for another starting pitcher, I'll be a little bit more confident knowing that they have some more depth in the rotation.
Let me say this. If they get another starting pitcher, if they make the trade for Sean Manaea and they stay healthy, and those are two big ifs because you assume those things, and I think the Sox can win more than 95 games. I think that they're going to be a 97, 98 win team if those things happen because they're that good, they're that deep, and they're that dangerous, especially in the bullpen, especially if you have Robert and Jimenez for 150 games. Goodness sakes. But, Bruce, I think we can count on them being a little bit banged up. I don't know if Rickon's going to move as quickly to get a starter before the trade deadline. So I will say they're better than last year. And last year they finished 93-69. They will be 94-68. And I think that's relatively conservative. They will win the division. They will get into the ALCS. And I have the White Sox winning the ALCS. I think they can do that if those things that we just talked about happen, and they have good health and great pitching.
Yeah, I'm with you, David. The story to the major league season for 2023 is, can rotations in baseball survive April? Okay, can they build up the proper innings? Can it not get so wonky that people are going down left and right by pitching in different weather and traveling the 162 games? Can they get through April? April is a huge month for everybody, in particular the White Sox, who had a rotation that was beaten up and tired at the end of 2021 and need to be able to protect and yet at the same time compete in 2022.
Do you have a White Sox MVP? Do you have a White Sox most surprising player?
That's easy. That's easy. The MVP, MVP of the White Sox and of the league is going to be Lewis Robert.
Woo-hoo! Okay, of the league too?
Of the league, he's going to be the best player in baseball this year. Okay, and I don't have really too many qualms in saying it. I just believe in his talent. He hasn't played a lot of games, so he's only played 124 major league games. But from his approach and from his ability, I think the sky is the limit for Lewis Robert. And remember, what you were going to say is there's probably five guys on the team that people could pick as MVP candidate. That is that's going to do nothing but help all those players be better with all the protection that they have in that lineup where guys cannot be pitched around.
They could split the vote. I love Abreu. I love Tim Anderson. I think Robert's a great choice if he stays healthy. I'm going with Eloy. Eloy Jimenez, with 145 games or more, is going to have lights-out statistics, and he is going to be the most valuable player. Playing the majority games in left field, Bruce, I think we're going to talk about this moving forward, maybe not just as a DH. And one of the biggest surprises, I think, could be Gavin Sheets. I think Gavin Sheets, left-handed bat that they don't have, they're going to find his, the need for him to be in the lineup more often than not because they lack a left-handed power bat, and he's going to supply the power from the left side. So, all but optimism here, anything but optimism here, and I think that it's a lot of fun to look forward and predict these things. But now we have to go on because we have to talk to Tony La Russa so we can break, so we can have enough time to talk to him about our optimistic predictions to see what he thinks. The White Sox manager joins us next on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.